Blog Talk Radio.
To NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction, Blog Talk Radio Show, founded to increase the national awareness of black women in the construction industry. NABWIC is the charge and takes the charge for black women to advocate for further opportunities to its members. Our mission as a core foundation is to strengthen the building blocks of new educational, entrepreneurial, professional, and social network connections. The vision of NABWIC is to build long-lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for black women in construction and their respective communities. We invite you to call or text or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. Or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments.
Good morning. Welcome again to another wonderful episode of NABWIC Talk. So, hold on to your seats because this morning, this Wednesday morning, we have a fabulous podcast for you. So, not only are we celebrating an opportunity where we bring you another one of our monthly NABWIC Billion Dollar Luncheons, but as we mentioned on last week, we are continuing to celebrate National NABWIC New Member Month. So we are excited about our new members. We give them an opportunity to come on to the podcast and share a little bit about who they are and what they do, especially as they seek to serve and support you. So listen, I am in the studio today with our usual crew. We want to say good morning to all of our co-hosts. We've got Ms. Ursula Odom in the room. We've got Gerald Barnes in the room. We've got Zakia Flagg in the room. We got Odedra Williams. And we have none other than our master builder herself, Ms. Ann McNeil. So we are so happy to have everybody joining us. So listen, as I mentioned, today, in fact, is the day that you want to be online and in place to join us on Zoom for our monthly Billion Dollar Luncheon. And this time, we are highlighting the contracting opportunities that exist in facility management and facility construction. And we've got great guests. We've got about four presenters that are going to present their billion dollar opportunities to you. We're going to highlight and introduce you to NABWIC's woman in the spotlight for the area of facilities management. And we've just got lots of great things. So for that, you want to go ahead right now and go over to our website, NABWIC, that's NABWIC.org. And right on our homepage, you'll see an opportunity. Just click that button so you can register. You have up until about 11 o'clock. You can register today and you can join us for that great workshop that could potentially make a difference for not only your personal life, but especially your business life. So go ahead and do that while we're waiting. And we'll tell you a little bit more about what we're going to be doing today right after this short commercial.
Hi, my name is Sabrina Miller. I am the owner of MDI General Contracting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm a new member of the National Association of Black Women in Construction, and I'm excited to celebrate women in the construction industry. I'm most proud about NABWIC's ability to have intertwined itself in the legislative process, which affects all women, and particularly black women in the construction industry, and I'm happy to be a part of that process and help to grow NABWIC's reach in the Pennsylvania area. My name is Sabrina Miller. Please join me in celebrating women in construction.
Well, Well, we appreciate Sabrina, and we do, as she mentioned, celebrate all women who are in the construction arena. And we want to say, again, congratulations to all of our new members. And we also want to say congratulations to today's Billion Dollar Luncheon Woman in the Spotlight. So we're going to be doing two things, actually. We're going to share a little bit about our Woman in the Spotlight. So just keep in mind that we are celebrating Miss Violet Brown for her visionary leadership in the area of facilities management. She's NABWIC's Woman in the Spotlight for Billion Dollar Luncheon and Facilities Contracting Opportunities. She's a Miami-Dade native, and her journey in education spans from a dedicated school teacher to her current role as the Senior Educational Program Director at the Florida Department of Education Office of Educational Facilities. So you can learn more about Violet today by, again, attending the Billion Dollar Luncheon. You'll hear some words from her coming directly from our Woman in the Spotlight, and so you don't want to miss that. Go ahead and tune in. And also, we want you to check back with us each Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. We are here every Wednesday morning faithfully to bring you a fresh episode of NABWIC Talk. So you want to tune in because right at the beginning of May, we are looking to have Ms. Violet Brown, our NABWIC Woman in the Spotlight, right here for an up-close and personal interview where you can hear her personal journey and also get to ask questions, share your insight, make comments. That's what NABWIC Talks is all about, so we can be inspired and we can grow and learn together. So be on the lookout for Ms. Violet Brown, who will be coming to you later in the month. But what we're going to do during the show, while you keep tuning in, you're going to hear a little clip from another woman in the spotlight. And this was the last time we had our facilities, Billion Dollars Luncheon. We spotlighted Ms. Dickie Sykes. And so she is another phenomenal woman who we recognize. And so we're going to play just a short clip from her. And you're going to hear a little bit more about her and perhaps you want to connect with Ms. Sykes in some way as we, again, celebrate these extraordinary women who are making history and making an impact on their communities, their businesses, and other women across this nation. So just stay tuned. After we do that, you have got to hang on, because after that, like I said, April is National New Member Month for NABWIC. And so we are also going to feature a new member. You're going to hear from her. She is relatively new. She's almost old hat now because she's been around and been doing so many extraordinary things. But we're going to let you hear from Ms. Melody Fogarty, and we'll tell you a little bit more about her as we continue on. So again, we're going to have just one more commercial, and when we come back, you'll be hearing from last year's Woman in the Spotlight, Ms. Dickie Sykes, and then we'll be moving on to celebrating our new member month with Melody Fogarty. Stay tuned.
We are so excited to have you listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Black Talk Radio Show. Please call, text, or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. Or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow us by liking our page and post your questions or comments. NABWIC's intent is to always go into the high schools and colleges to encourage our young black girls and women to enter into the construction industry and to take interest into the STEM programs that are offered. We encourage you to listen to this show or past shows on the internet by logging in at www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Thank you, and we're back.
Yes, and we're back, and we're going to go right into a segment with our NABWIC Woman in the Spotlight from our previous luncheon for facilities, contracting opportunities, Ms. Dickie Sykes.
About Ms. Sykes, Dickie Sykes is the director of the Office of Diversity and Business Practices for the School District of Palm Beach County, which is the 10th largest school district in the nation. Dickie is responsible for developing policy and procedure, operational strategy, establishing goals, and contract compliance for the district's diversity and business practices program for both construction and goods and services. Her department analyzes policy and operational guidelines to determine optimal best practices to foster successful opportunity outcomes for small, minority, and women-owned businesses. Under Dickie's leadership, the ODBP won Florida State Minority Supplier Diversity Council's Local Corporation of the Year Award for Excellence in Supplier Diversity and Local Corporation of the Year from the Black Chamber of Commerce, Palm Beach County. The ODBP received a proclamation from the Commissioners of Palm Beach County for providing training, outreach, networking, and initiatives to help small businesses grow. And I was a part of one of those training initiatives, the Small Business University. So thank you for that, Ms. Sykes. It was a wonderful opportunity. But without further ado, we want to spotlight Ms. Dickie Sykes. So Ms. Sykes, your comments.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Kendi. And you read my bio, but what does a bio mean? It's words on a piece of paper, right? What are you doing to help Black women, Black men get opportunities with your organization? That's where the rubber meets the road. So I am proud to say that during my tenure, we've created a lot of best practices in the industry. I thoroughly realize all of you are not in the state of Florida. You're all over the country. So what my task is to tell you briefly, because we don't have a lot of time, how you need to position yourself. Because you become certified with these large organizations, okay, you're certified. What next? How do you get an opportunity? So this is what we've done. We've developed customized meet and greets between the end user and the vendor who sells their product. That has been a huge shift in the mindset of the district. You're not just a name on a piece of paper. They get to know face-to-face who you are and what you do. During COVID, we had these interactions virtually, where companies would give them a presentation on their goods or their services and their value proposition. We also insist companies, if you don't get work, what do you do if you don't get an opportunity? It's like when you're in school, if you got an F, did you not go to the teacher and say, why did you give me an F? I thought I did a good job. What can I do better? So we host bid debriefs. So it will give you an opportunity to come into the district and meet every single person who evaluated your proposal. This is what you can do to improve the next time around. We also highly encourage, and, you know, I'm very surprised of the number of companies. I will be with the school district 5 years come August, and I can probably count on one hand the companies who have done this. If you're going for a solicitation and you're like, wow, I see this bid coming up, or this is my commodity, I know the district procures this commodity and eventually it's going to go out. You can go to purchasing and ask purchasing, because this is a good thing about a public entity. You can go and get the bid and review the bid of the company who won that solicitation the last time. You can look at everything they wrote, their pricing structure, everything about that bid. That is huge. And I can count on one hand the number of companies that have done that. So please, wherever you are, If you want to work with a public entity, you can go to their procurement, their purchasing department, and you can request to review that solicitation so you can see the structure, everything that the winner submitted. That's what we're doing. Also, I think what is very crucial is helping business not only get work, but helping businesses to grow. That's a monumental shift. Everyone wants to talk about the number of certified businesses that they have. Well, what actually does that mean? How many of those businesses are getting work? How many of those businesses are getting repeat work? Has their bonding increased since they've been given these opportunities? Do their financial picture, has their financial picture improved? And I'm going to tell you, as working for a school district, our charge is economic inclusion, not just social inclusion, economic inclusion, because we fundamentally understand the more prosperous, the more productive, the more opportunities that minority businesses have with us, the more wealthy they are, the better their children will be. Children are only as good as their parents' situation. So we want our minority business to be robust. We want them to be healthy. We want them to be foundationally strong, have good operating procedures, to be efficient in running their business. Because it's not just about getting an opportunity. And Ann McNeil knows this better than anyone. She is a rock star. Ann is a rock star. She is a leader. What she's done with NAWIC, what she's done in the community. I mean, I get chills thinking about her. I admire her so very much. It's about building wealth. So all these jobs that you're getting, are you making money off of these jobs? What I'm tracking is I look at when I started, I look at our prime black businesses, their bonding capacity when I started, and I'm looking at what their bonding capacity is now. Dr. Gallen said it best. People want prime opportunities. Well, when I'm looking at our numbers, our prime African American numbers exceeds $54 million, and our subcontractor black businesses are at $50 million. So we're doing a little bit better with our prime black businesses than our prime black subcontractors. Together, it's over $100 million to the African American businesses that have opportunities with the school district. So it really is a multi-tier approach, not just giving someone work, but making sure, this is why we have Small Business University, to make sure that when they get the work, they are foundationally strong. They're efficient. They're just not getting contracts. And after the contract, they're like, wow, I didn't really make any money off of this. I'm not growing my business. What does your financial picture look like so that you can get those loans from your banker? What does that look like so when you go to your bonding company and you present all of your paper, they're not just looking at your contracts. They're looking at how efficient you run your business. So that's why we're saying, wait a minute, we want to give people work, but we also want to help businesses to grow, not only in their trade, but operating the business. So we've done that multi-tier approach of helping businesses get work, but the other leg is training business to be optimal business owners, to be efficient, to have the right technology to help you. Last year, we did a whole session on Procore training for subcontractors. P- people had Procore, but they were like, I don't even really know how to use it. Once they found out what a powerful tool, they were like, oh my goodness, do you know how much time using Procore is going to save me? So we want you to be as efficient and operate here. Because if you operate here, you're automatically going to get more business. Your bonding is going to increase. Your financial picture is going to increase. But if you're operating here and you have an opportunity, I'll give you a perfect example. A couple of days ago, a vendor emailed me. She said, Dickie, I got this term contract. I'm one of the bid awarded vendors. I said, okay. She said, I'm way over my head. I don't think financially I can compete with the other vendors who are bid awarded vendors. And I was like, okay. So we're going to have a bid debrief with her to understand when she read that bid, did she fully understand it, what the scope of work and what the terms are? Because in this business, as anyone in construction know, and you know, you can get over your head real quick. You can get over your head. And then before you know it, you're drowning. And we don't want that to happen to you, because let's keep it real. Can we keep it real, people? We know as Black people, we don't get a lot of opportunities to make a whole bunch of mistakes and be forgiven for them. Okay? We don't have that opportunity. So we need to come in with our A game. That's why it takes a lot of research, a lot of due diligence, and understanding how these large school districts, how they work, how RFPs go out, how bids go out, fully understanding that structure, the requirements, the scope of work, the terms and conditions. And as people like me, we can help you with that. That's our job. That's our task. I will tell you, I've done diversity and inclusion all my life. This, if you ask me to do your finances for you, you'd be in a world of hurt, right? This is what I know best. I can help you get in, but not only get in, what is the best way to get in? Everybody wants to be a prime, but everybody's not ready to be a prime. Maybe you need to be that sub-consultant. Maybe you need to be that subcontractor. Maybe you need to be a joint venture partner. So there's a multitude of ways to get in. But strategically working with myself and your in-house team, we can tell you what approach is best for you. Not every job is your job. I'll say that again. Not every opportunity is your opportunity. What do they say about luck? Does anybody put in the chat room what they say about luck? You know what they say about luck? Put it in, Anne. What do they say about luck?
In preparation,
right.
Opportunity.
Absolutely. You have to, if the opportunity meets it, but you're prepared when that opportunity presents itself. Many opportunities may present themselves, but you have to be honest with yourself. You have to really look in and say, am I ready for that opportunity? Do I have the labor? Oh my God, who isn't having problems with labor today? Supply chain shortages, labor shortages. Everybody wants $10 million that works for you. Everybody wants $10 million. So you have to ask yourself, am I foundationally strong to take on this opportunity and do it well so that I can really get in a position where I get a lot of repeat business? So that's my spiel for today. I'm open for any questions that you may have. I think NAWIC is an absolutely wonderful organization. It is a wonderful organization in a multitude of ways. When I started with, I started my career in New York City with a construction management firm. I started as a coordinator, right? I think the project was maybe a $200 or $300 million project. I started and I worked my way up as vice president of supply diversity, handling all of our projects around the country. I was the only Black woman VP in the entire company. I'm going to tell you, it was lonely. So to have an organization like this who embraces you, who supports you, who has your back, is bar none. We need that. So thank you again for the opportunity. I am truly honored and I'm humbled. And anything that I can do for you, please do not hesitate. And thank you again.
Well, once again, thank you for listening in with us as we heard comments from our woman in the spotlight, Ms. Diggy Sites, from a former facilities $1 billion opportunity luncheon. And like I said, to get introduced to the current woman in the spotlight for our facilities luncheon, Ms. Violet Brown, go head over to our website, NABWIC.org. Make that registration and be a part of hundreds of people who will be joining us today to celebrate our woman in the spotlight. Now, let's celebrate our new member month. So we started last week as we kicked off National New Member Month with new member Nakia Imbia, the Certified Project Management Professional, had an impressive career. You heard her story. And so we're going to be featuring all other stories all during this particular month. And so you're going to hear from Melody Fogarty in just a moment. But you also want to tune back in again because we're going to be spotlighting some other new members like Rochelle Lawson. She's going to be talking about wiring success in telecommunications. We also have next week, Ms. Cambra Williams. She's going to talk about her engineering journey and how she's just helping to tear things up down there in Atlanta on that marketing committee. But we've got so many other new members we want to introduce to you, so tune in. So right now, let's hear from Melody Open.
So Jackie, today when we talk about the spirit of service, we must talk about our special guest today, Melody. Very excited and patient to hear her full story as best as we can get it for this time that we have the 30 minutes. So you can almost take a back seat, Jackie, and just kick your heels up and just listen as she shares, And Melody, I've said this to you before, and I will say it to you again publicly. Thank you so very much for your service. You have added a special sauce, a special juice to this organization nationally, as you have helped to elevate this brand professionally, ethically, and in so many, many, many different ways with your spirit of service. So with that, Jackie, let's get this party started.
Hey, I am in total agreement, and let's get this party started. So thank you for those comments. So we want to, again, welcome Melody Fogarty to the show. And Melody, I have read that bio, and it is very, very impressive. However, I'm sure that our listeners want to hear your story in your own words. So if you would, take a moment and just tell us in your own words a little bit more about your background and how you came to do what you do today.
So I'm a Midwest girl. I grew up in the Show Me State. My mom was a single mom. I was lucky because my uncle was the first African-American to own a Cadillac dealership called Mercer Cadillac in Alton, Illinois, and I had an opportunity to go to university. I started my university career at St. Louis University, which is a Jesuit university where I spent time understanding multiple different religions, and then I went on to finish my undergraduate and graduate career at state universities in California. And from there, I had an opportunity to work for a multitude of different organizations. I chose human resources. I actually have I started off with a degree in accounting. And in my family, we have two things that we tell young people. The first thing is your first degree belongs to your mother, full stop. This will come back later, and I'll tell you why. And the second thing they tell us in the families, and we start small, like when you're really little, is it's not if you're going, it's where you're going. That is your only option. Where are you going to go to school? It's not if you're going to go to school. You will be going. It's just there. So that's how I really kind of got started in terms of my movement. And I learned in my career, if you want your career to go fast, then you need to be relocatable. If you want your career to grow wide, right, then you want to stay in the same location. It'll go slow, but you can stay in the same location. So that's how I really made many of my decisions. I also, in my first marriage, I was married to someone who was in the military. So that forced me to constantly have to change organizations every 3 to 4 years in order to continue that relationship. And then that forces you to move up. I'd also tell you that in my background, I've typically always been the only in the room. And I mean either the only woman, the only African-American, or the only African-American woman in the room. And that has consistently been my fervor. And when I was young, what I learned, like a lot of young people, is you never want to be underestimated. And this will come back later for you again. It is important to let them think that you're less than. Go ahead. Let them do it. Underestimation can actually work for you. Use the laws for you. And I learned that in my career because I was sitting with Lee Scott one day. He had decided to do a leadership council. And he said, why are you here? And I rattled off a bunch of credentials that I had at that time. And that answer was no, that's not why you're here. The purpose of anybody being in the room is they want your point of view. Have one. Now, in the same thing, he also said, just because you're right doesn't mean you're right. So that was an interesting key learning for me. But my background has consistently been made up of those things. I have had the opportunity to be responsible for the operations of an organization several times nationally, as well as covering Canada and Mexico operations, as well as covering China and Japan and Germany, and engaging them in the process of building a culture, either through acquisition or through organic build. I spent a great part of my time on transformation. How do you transform a company? I can do it for you transparently, or we can do a stealth mode. It's just a matter of when do you want the resistance. So I say all that to say this. My background really comes down to a simple concept. Make decisions based on what you'll learn, not necessarily always about how much money you'll make.
Okay, repeat that last part of your melody. You said make decisions based on what you will learn?
That's correct.
Okay.
Not always on how much money you're going to make.
Okay, now that's intriguing. So say a little bit more about that, especially the part about the decisions based on what you will learn. What's that all about?
Okay. So pick your North Star, whatever it is. Let's say you want to be a CEO, you want to be a developer. In this case, you want to have a real estate empire. What does it take to be successful in that job or in that role? For me, the concept, because ultimately I wanted to be a CEO, was what did I need to know? When you go to university, I have an undergraduate degree, and I have a graduate degree as well, an MBA. They're going to teach you theory. Undergraduate degrees, all they really are saying, no matter what you get it in, is I can learn complex concepts. A graduate degree gives you some level of specificity in a particular area. That's really what it does. But the practical application of the theory that you just learned is honed in the organizations you choose to work for or you build. So I started off in the banking industry, actually. Very first job, I worked for a convenience store. Then I worked for a regional bank. And then I went off to university, and I worked for a nonprofit. I worked for a nonprofit in the California State University system to understand money in terms of how you acquire money and how you manage grants and contracts. Right? Then I left, so that taught me how to do grants and contracts. And how to do philanthropy. How to give money and how to hold people accountable to what the grant or the endowment is supposed to do. And constantly these things are in the details. Most people don't, they miss that part of it, and this is how we lose, is because we don't see the details. Like they have A and B, and then there's the C down there that negates to some degree A and B. From there, I went on to work for a international organization that dealt in agro biotechnology. I also worked for a technology firm. And the purpose of doing that was to understand emerging markets. I wanted to be in the tech bubble. I just wanted to know what that felt like. So I got to do that. And to understand conceptually where the world was going when it came to food and agriculture. Then I left that, and I was with Fed. I was with Kinko's right at the time that they got acquired with FedEx. And the purpose of that was to start to understand multi-unit management, understand hub-spoke concept and how to get more with less. Then there was the acquisition by FedEx, and that really taught me a lot about acquisitions and mergers and how to do due diligence in terms of that knowledge. I left FedEx Kinko's and went to Walmart. Walmart at the time was building out a professional HR infrastructure for that organization as opposed to what they're doing, what they had been doing. And in that concept, I learned how to do infrastructure, performance management, how to integrate internal talent, organic talent with acquired talent, how to do transformation, both transparent and stealth, because they had a process by which they manage power within their structure, and they have a break that allows them to, they use breaks in your tenure in order to do that. So you understand that. But I also understood something that was very unique that I haven't had access to, and it's really how they handle diversity, equity, and inclusion. Fascinating. The things that you learned, that I learned there about that process really helped me later on in life. I left that. And that's retail, multi-unit management in retail, understanding market entry, how do you get into a market, build those relationships, grow the organization, leadership development, how do you train people to lead, particularly female leadership. I left that and went to work for Bridgestone, and had to move them out of Edison, Illinois, and get them ready to move to Nashville. for the parents' office, integrating Japanese management techniques and culture into an Americanized company, which they've been owned by a Japanese company for quite a few years, but their retail operations were an interesting situation. You have to learn how to do that. Plus, they had some parts of their organization that had not fully been integrated. They had acquired out of Florida, key learnings in that particular process. Then I left them, and I went to work for American Standard, which had been acquired by Lixil, which is that L-I-X-I-L. So Lixil Water Technologies, which is a Japanese firm that bought a German firm that bought an American firm. Understanding how you manufacture plumbing fixtures, but more importantly, like not only the manufacture of that and the integration of three different cultures, but also understanding contracting, commercial contracting, because American Standard does commercial contracts with hotels and also with prime builders of residential properties and how they make that deal on what plumbing is going into and how they're retrofitting or renovating those particular environments. And so that put me in a place where, one, my spouse, who's been in construction for 30-plus years, from California all the way over, doing residential and commercial construction, how does that work for our organization? How do we build that infrastructure? How do we grow our business from that side of it? And then the consulting side of what I do, which is strategy. How do I work on strategies for organizations and their HR infrastructure? I don't personally like accounting, but I can read a financial, all the financial documents enough to know if a company is good or bad. So that's what I mean about working for a company, not so much always for the money, but more about what you can learn from them.
Well, you definitely have learned a lot of incredible things that I'm sure have aided in your success today. So, listen, everyone who's been listening, I know, again, this has been awesome. Melody has been breaking it down. She's given us some of the secret sauce. She ain't giving you all the tea now. You got to keep listening. But she's been giving us the secret sauce in terms of how we can make this happen. And I failed to mention, I think they did in the commercial, that if you do have a question of Melody, you can join the conversation by pressing star and one on your telephone line. And we've already, Melody, as a result of what you've already shared, been getting some questions off of our social media. So we're going to take just a quick commercial break. We're going to come back. We are talking to Melody Fogarty. She is Managing Director for Dakota Gray and also co-founder of MFB Home Services. So we'll take a quick commercial, come right back, and we'll get into some more questions.
Well, my name is Robin Donaldson from Tampa, Florida. My business, Renew Construction Services, we provide construction services. Specifically, large event cleaning and janitorial services, as well as janitorial supplies. NABWIC saved my life. It gave me life. It blew life into me because I had found myself in school studying for architectural design, and I did not have an exit plan. So anyone out there who is or who has a dream and do not know how to implement that dream, I would highly recommend NABWIC as a place to start, because there you're going to get your foundation, you're going to understand your why, you're going to create a plan, and then you're going to be taught how to implement that plan. And when I started with NABWIC, again, I was in school, I just started the company, I was doing residential cleaning. And as a result of everything that I've learned and implemented, I went from the toilet bowl to the Super Bowl. And I couldn't say it any better than that.
All right. There's no better way to say it. from the toilet bowl to the Super Bowl, and that's what NABWIC does. It certainly helps push you from one level to the next. And before we get back to our interview with Melody Fogarty, I just want to say that we encourage you to go onto our website, NABWIC.org, and check out the developmental things, activities, events that can help grow your business. And one of the things I do want to mention is that we want you to go ahead and mark your calendar for February 21st. That is the day that NABWIC will be having another billion-dollar luncheon. This time the focus will be the three P's, public-private partnerships, and CRA opportunities. So you don't want to miss that, and you can find us on Eventbrite or on our website, along with other events that are coming out for our local chapters and areas. But so go to our website and check that out. I just want to get back real quick because, you know, our time goes by so fast, and this is so interesting. I haven't really gotten into many of my questions, and we've got questions also from people who are viewing on the Internet. So I'm going to, Melody, welcome you back again. And I want to go ahead and interject before I get to my question, a question that we did get off of our social media. So the question is, as a co-founder of MFB Home Services, can you share the challenges and triumphs you've encountered in establishing a construction company, particularly as a woman of color in a predominantly male-dominated field?
So for me, it's a little bit different than it's going to be for some of you. In my situation, my husband does all the business development. He goes out and scopes out a residential job for us. And this is something that I find with a lot of men who are married to women in business, such as these that are male-dominated business. So he goes out, he gets the job, he introduces the client to me, and then it's on from there. It's typically that's talk to the boss. He's the one who circles them back and says, nope, love to make that decision, but that belongs to the boss. The boss is going to do that. And that kind of breaks down that barrier. As a woman who has to do this job without a male partner, it is difficult to get the job I don't know. I'm going to put it this way to you. My favorite saying, I say it to my girls all the time, every black woman is born a princess. Some of them will be queen, but none will be pharaoh if they marry a king. And the reason why I say it in that rhyme is this reason. When you are the CEO and they have the opportunity to defer to a man, they will. So what is important is if you have male partners or a male employee, they circle the individual back with pride to you, as opposed to allowing the client to circumvent you.
Mm-hmm. So, no, thank you for that. That is great, great advice. And, again, I hope everyone is taking notes. And I'm going to Melody, revert back to something you said earlier, or just kind of summarize a little bit, because you mentioned that you actually came from an entrepreneurial background. Your father owned the Cadillac dealership.
My uncle did.
So, mm-hmm. So you were already exposed to some of that. And then you've got 20 years under your belt also chasing startups to industry giants. You've worked with many, many Fortune 500 companies, and you've already kind of scoped out all the different skills and knowledge that you've gained from each one of those. So you've been able to put that all together. So I do have one question of my own, and that's like, well, one of the things I want to ask was what you enjoy most about what you do, and then tell us what's coming up next for you. What's next on the horizon? Where are you headed next?
So of all those jobs, my favorite job is being executive coach. I really enjoy the opportunity to work with women in the areas of leadership. What I find is that when I meet women who are leaders, they're typically in a position where they're questioning themselves, questioning their ability to lead. Women have a tendency to wait till they have all the pieces, and men don't. Like, men assume you're going to give them a raise. Men assume they're going to give them the job, regardless of whether or not they have all the requisite skills. Women, on the other hand, are like, well, I'm not quite ready. I didn't do this. I've got, like, these 1,000 things going. And they're coming up with more excuses on why they cannot lead. That's first. You can lead. If you know how to lead, you know how to lead. If you have that skill set, you have it, and you need to go ahead and take those opportunities and chances and those risks involved. The other thing is holding other people accountable. Women have a tendency to be hard on themselves, extremely hard on each other, but we are hard on ourselves, and we have to learn not to be so hard on ourselves. There's opportunity for error. Men fell up. Women don't believe that you can fail upward, especially not black women. But there is actually something called failing up. And I learned that at Walmart. I was, I'm thinking about the leader it was, and I can't remember his name. But at any rate, what he said one day when we were sitting in a succession, planning session, he said, the next leader of Walmart may have never made a dollar for the company. And what he meant by that is in that environment, you're measured, so there's your soft skills that you're measured by, which are all the competencies of leadership, by and large. Are you a thought leader or a global leader? Do you build relationships? Are you a team player? Do you commit to diversity and inclusion? A bunch of soft skills that go with it. But then, and that is 40% of what you're measured on. And then 60% of what's measured on are your ability to hit revenue, expenses, and inventory turns. Now, you say, hey, you're sitting in HR. How are you expect? Well, that's, yeah, you are. Your overall group, unit, market, region, whatever, if they hit their numbers, that impacts your overall rating. The point of the process is really understanding in the game, it's not always about hitting that number. And the further you go up in an organization, the less direct impact you have on the number. So you have to be aware of that. It's about the soft skills.
Okay. Again, thank you so much. Another nugget. I had heard the term fail forward, and so maybe it may be synonymous with the fail upward. But thank you for sharing that. And that's something I believe that I know I will take and resonate, that resonate with me. Hopefully our listening audience will too. And also, just so you know, we're going to be asking Melody how to get in touch with her a little bit later, but some of her contact information is on the episode that's online. But she mentioned that the thing that she enjoys the most is being executive coach, which actually goes to another question that we got from our internet audience. And it says, reflecting on your journey, how do you mentor and support other black women aspiring to leadership roles in construction and business strategy? So you may have already partly answered that, Melody, already with your comments that you just made about how much, again, you enjoy being the executive coach. And you gave us already some coaching tips, so thanks for that. But so, audience, I hope that, again, that satisfied you, because I do want to move on to another question. And that is, Melody, again, you have quite a dossier. Your notoriety, your accomplishment, your background, your skill, and this is another question that came in, but I concur. They want to know, what drew you to NABWIC?
Oh, okay. Multitude of things, but let me just start with this one. So I have lived in New Jersey since 2015. We started formally the construction company in 2017. All right, yeah. So right in there, and I wanted to give back to our community, but more importantly, I wanted to be around other Black women who were in the construction environment. And so then Ida came to me and said, hey, I joined this group. You need to join. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Can I? She's like, yeah, you need to do it. You need to do it. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And so I joined. And it, I was just really excited about being with a group who had a sense of focus about what needed to be achieved, and the fact that it has a level of brand and strength necessary to move the dial. Now, are we perfect? Absolutely not. We're not perfect. That's who is, right? Nobody's perfect. The point is, the concept and what we're trying to achieve is moving in the direction that we need to achieve, which is unity. We need to unify, and we need to move the dime, and we got to do it quick, y'all, because the world is changing a lot, and we're moving faster. So, yes, that's what brought me to NABWIC. It was just the desire to unify with other Black women and to be in construction and to make a difference.
Well, we are so glad that you decided to join for that reason, and I agree. We are in this era now where I believe that the women in construction are poised to unify, to focus, and like you said, move the dime. We can't do it alone, but we can do it together. We're better together. And so thank you for sharing that. That definitely would have been my question, too. And listen, listeners, we are getting so many great questions. I know we're at the top of the hour. We won't be able to get to them all. But I will ask this one, Melody. It says, okay, given your diverse roles and expertise, what advice would you give to Black women navigating their careers in construction and looking to make a significant impact? You've given a lot of great advice already, but is there any advice that you can give to Black women who are looking to navigate their careers in construction?
Yeah, it's the same advice I'd give you in any other environment. Move like water.
Move like water?
Move like water.
All right, that's a hashtag for the day, but go ahead, elaborate.
Move like water basically means this: no matter what happens, no matter what they do, you will find your way to the sea. If you got to change, if you got to go under it, over it, around it, through it, with it, under it, whatever you got to do to get to where you want to be, do it. You got to move like water. You got to reinvent yourself. Sometimes you got to make yourself small to get through them small cracks. Then you got to make yourself big to get through them big cracks. Sometimes you got to be like the elephant with the little dog yapping behind you. Y'all got to move like water.
All
nothing
right.
Stop you.
I love that, Melody. And that's going to be, we pick a hashtag from our guest, and yours is going to be move like water. I love it. I love it. Thank you. So no matter what's coming your way, find your way to the sea. You can do it.
Hi, Jackie. This is Ursula. I just had to unmute so I could cheer. Woo-hoo, that was good.
Move like water. There we go. There we go. Well, listen, we got so many questions. We're going to have you back another time, Melody, but I have to ask you this one. And it's one that we ask all of our guests, but it's a profound one because it helps us add to our list of developmental things for our members. And so I want to ask you to share with us your favorite book, author, or what you're currently reading.
So I have two favorite books. So the first book that I'm going to recommend for anyone in a leadership position or not, just within a collective of more than yourself, is The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And the first chapter is the most profound chapter to me because it says it's the law of the lid. It means that a six will never follow a five. What that basically is saying is you will only get as far as the ability of the leader at the time. That is why you don't always have the same leader. You find the person who is the smartest, and you put them in the position. You'll understand that if you look at the Rothschilds. They don't choose the head of the family based on that person being a boy or a girl or because they're the son or the daughter of the last leader. It may happen, but that's not it. You choose the leader based on who's the smartest and the most capable. That's the law of the loop. The second book I recommend for everybody comes with what we call an assessment. And I love this book. It's my favorite one. I recommend it to everyone. Please do not read this book cover to cover. Use this book like a dictionary, okay? It's called Now Discover Your Strengths. You can choose whichever version. I have the older version, which is by Marcus Buckingham. There's a newer version, but it's all basically the same. When you buy the book comes with a cover. Inside the cover is a code, and that code can be used to take the assessment. The assessment initially will give you your five strengths. This is important. And what the concept is stop focusing on the things that you get C's and D's and F's in. They will never make you great. No matter how hard you work on them, you really won't make step change. Focus on the things that you are fantabulous at.
Wow.
Okay? And that is the thing that will bring you money and joy.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing. So if you didn't get that, let me repeat it. 21 Irrefutable Laws, and many of you know John Maxwell, so that's a part of his collection, book 21 Irrefutable Laws by John Maxwell. And then Now, Discover Your Strength, and that was by Marcus Buckingham. And like she said, there's an assessment that's there. You could take that. And I love what you said, too, Melody. Focus on those things that you are fantastic with. Fantabulous, that's a good word for me. But, hey, we'll take it. We'll take it. So those are two recommended readings that we have for our NABWIC listeners on this week. So thank you very much for that, Melody. And the last thing I would like to ask you, you have shared so many valuable nuggets with us. And again, I have to say it, you know, you got the secret sauce. And so if you would tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you should they want to continue this conversation in some manner or form. And then the last thing I would like for you to do after you've done that is any last thoughts. I mean, you shared a lot with us, but there might be something that you want to leave with our listeners as we close the podcast today.
Sure, absolutely. So if you're looking for support and leadership or HR services, or you want to put out your payroll or benefit services, by all means, reach out to me at Dakota Gray. I do resell those services, and we'll do an RFP for you so that we can find out or find a service for you that's more effective. for what you want to have done. If you need an executive coach, you can also reach out to me through Dakota Gray. The direct number is 609-288-7596. And it's just infosity@dakotagrayllc.com. That particular service. If you want to partner on a construction opportunity, then you can just reach me at msbhomeservices@gmail.com. We'll stop. All right. So other great things that are going on that I'd like to share with you. I am facilitating the Elevating Leaders for Mercer Community College. If you're interested in participating in that program, they're accepting applications through February 23rd. The classes will run from March 8th until June 8th. I'm sorry, it's March 15th, I believe, until June 8th. But I'd be excited to have any of you join that particular class, but they are accepting applications through February 23rd. And this is in support of the New Jersey Black Women's Collective this year. But hey, we should all give back to the world. So if you don't tithe to the church, then tithe your time. Find something that you want to give back to and give them your 4 hours per week, because we all need it. Let's learn to live a soft life.
Jackie.
Yes.
Melody. Real quick, just wanted to come on and share. I read both of those books that you recommended, and it just helped me to better understand a little bit more about you. Melanie, thank you so very much for sharing, and you're absolutely right about both of those books. And we have a book of the year this year on behalf of Maverick, which is Eden Revisited, and want to encourage all of our listeners. And, Jack, I really want to also encourage us to share it on the podcast every time we get a chance, because every time we ask that question of the guest, what they're reading, it tells us a lot about the individual, but it also helps us to share in the spirit of service and elevating our listeners to tap into the resources that are elevating our guests. So just wanted to share that and say thank you so very much for joining us today. Great job. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Anne, for sharing that as well. So I am probably in my second round of reading Eden Revisited, but like you, definitely, I've read a lot of John Maxwell's books. I've never read The 21 Irrefutable Laws, though. So that's my my next pick, and we mentioned now The Stuff of Your Strength. So, again, both excellent resources that we like to recommend for those of you in the listening audience. And we also want to say, again, we can't really say enough, but we want to say thank you to our guest this morning, Melody Fogarty. Melody, you provided us with so many nuggets, as I've already said, and we appreciate you. I know there's a lot more that you can share, so we definitely have to get a time where we can get you back on the show. But for now, this show is going to be evergreen, so we're just asking our listeners, if you would, you can go out at blogtalkradio.com/Maverick, and you can listen to this show again, because, again, I know there's something that you missed on that first hearing, but you can listen to it again. We've been talking with Melody Fogarty, Managing Partner and Chief Business Strategist for Dakota Gray, and also the co-founder of MSB Home Services. And her contact information, again, will be on that episode. But if you are needing payroll and RFP, she can give you an RFP for that. If you need to connect for construction opportunities, you can connect and reach out with her for that, too. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the special Valentine edition of Now With Talk. And on this day of love, again, we want to express our heartfelt appreciation to each of you for your unwavering support and dedication. And just like the strongest of structures is love and passion that lay the foundation for everything that we do. So next week, we'll be back again for another episode of Maverick Talks. And I want to thank you again, Lonely, for being our special guest and for giving us our special hashtag for this week, Move Like Water.
Wasn't she phenomenal? Listen, again, we can't say enough about our NABWIC members who contribute so much to their businesses, our community, and to the NABWIC organization. Thank you so much, Melody. So listen, we hope that you have enjoyed this week's podcast. I know it was a little different today because we kind of combined a couple of celebrations, our woman in the spotlight, along with celebrating our new members. But there's nothing wrong with that. We love our women in the spotlight, and we love our new members. So listen, we'll see everyone back again next Wednesday, 8:30 a.m., right here on NABWIC Talks. Thank you so much for listening.
This concludes our show. Thank you for listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. For more information about NABWIC and our membership, please visit us on the web at www.nabwic.org. We are the voice of Black Women in Construction. Have a great and prosperous day. This